Welcome to Red or Dead, a bi-weekly podcast where we talk about the world of mysteries and thrillers. This is episode 173, and we are recording on Sunday, March 17th. I'm Katie McLean Horner, along with Kendra Winchester, and we are coming to you from Book Riot. Hi, Kendra. Happy St. Patrick's Day.
Oh, happy St. Patrick's Day. I realize I'm not wearing any green.
Neither am I.
I missed it. I did get a glitter, a green glitter cider yesterday. A friend and I went out and we discovered this place was doing, you know, ciders and beer. And so I was like, cool. And so she got this like green glitter, something or other. And I got a cider and it was amazing.
Glitter.
Like glitter. Yeah. Yeah. I'll send you a video. I took a video of the glitter and it like undulates like one of those glitter lava lamps. It's so cool. It was probably lots of food coloring, but it was fun.
I would not. I mean, I'm sure what if there were anything that they put into that drink was, you know, edible. But yes. Yeah, glitter is not something I would think to add to any of my beverages.
It had to be like a light enough beverage for it not to come out gross. So yeah. It had like a list of air quotes compatible beverages. And so I just got a really light cider and it was really cute. So, big fan. But yeah, that was my celebration. So I guess I did it day early.
Yeah, Blaine got me a Shamrock Shake last week because I always forget or like I never get around to because I don't eat McDonald's really. And so I never think to go there and pick up a Shamrock Shake until it's after March. And then I go, oh, I could have done with a Shamrock Shake. I did also have a mint chocolate cake shake from Portillo's. And if you've never had a cake shake from Portillo's, you don't know what you're missing. You will see heavenly creatures when you have one.
They sound phenomenal.
Yeah. No, they literally take a piece of their ridiculous chocolate cake and they blend it in with the milkshake.
Oh, my
it
stars.
Is. Yeah, it is. Like, it's a religious experience and not one to miss if you're in the Chicago area. Like, this is one of the things that Chicago is known for, Portillo's and the chocolate cake shake. And so they come out with different flavors throughout the year, and there's usually a cake shake version. So I've had a peppermint chocolate cake shake for Christmas. They had some other version of mint for St. Patrick's Day, and I'm all about the mint chocolate, so I was very happy.
Well,
but yeah, other than that, I have not celebrated. I'm wearing all black and we had Mexican food for dinner. So,
well, you know, we are here in spirit to celebrate all of the things. So, I mean, we'll count this, you know.
Yeah. Yeah.
Folks can just wear green while they're listening if they also need to celebrate retroactively.
Yeah. There you go. There you go. I will also just quickly preemptively apologize either to listeners or to our lovely sound editors. I'm really hoping you're not going to hear meowing during the recording, but Blaine and I just adopted a new cat yesterday.
Congrats.
Yes, we're very excited. We're leaning towards a name. Like, I think I know which name we've picked for him, but we have not finalized it yet. But he's about a year old. He's a tabby. He is, like, the sweetest cat I have ever encountered. And our other cat, Deanie, is very, very curious about the visitor who's locked up in the office where I'm recording this right now. And so the new kitty, who we've jokingly referred to as TBD. I'm like, you better watch out or that's actually going to become his name.
Oh.
He is currently fast asleep, but Deanie likes to hang out right outside the closed office door and holler and stick his paws under the door. So I'm really hoping he behaves himself while we record and that the other cat doesn't wake up.
That's amazing.
Yeah. No, I'm very excited for when I think they're going to get along well. So far, we've been able to crack the door open a little bit earlier today for them to just kind of like sniff each other. But the new cat was more interested in trying to pull the door all the way open so he can go exploring. He's escaped 3 times already. And Deanie was a little like, what is this giant paw coming out of the, like, and just banging on the other side of the door trying to pull it open. So he was a little like, what? But he's been very curious. He's definitely seen the cat a couple of times when he's escaped. And I think based on their personalities, they're going to get along really well. But we're being careful. And in the meantime, they're just kind of like yelling at each other through the closed door. So
it sounds like you have a blooming friendship.
I hope so. No, I think they're going to get along well. Yeah, they're both very social cats, easygoing. I think Deanie will be happy to have someone to play with. And yeah, we'll see how that goes. But yeah, so far so good. We're very happy to have them.
Well, that's our new segment, I guess. I mean,
yeah, I guess so. Yeah. Not much in terms of mystery and thrillers, but new cats. Absolutely.
Priorities. We have them right.
Yeah. I mean, I haven't been doing a ton of reading recently. Apparently adopting a new cat nowadays is like applying for a job. Like you have to fill out an application with references.
100%.
It is bonkers. So I have not done a ton of reading. Have you done any reading since we last spoke?
Well, I am still recovering from a trip and my body has decided to try to actively murder me on theme for this podcast. And so I have just been reading my favorite sort of nonsense vampire novels. I am a millennial through and through. I read Twilight within the first 2 months it came out. Very proud of my first editions. And so I've actually been doing The Discovery of Witches because a new book comes out. But that would be more news for the fantasy podcast, which you can check out Book Riot's Full Stable of Podcasts wherever you like to listen.
Oh, look at that
there
plug.
There we go. But yeah, that's what I've been doing.
All right. Well, I guess speaking of plugs, you want
yes.
You want to give us a quick update?
Yes. Okay. So Book Riot has been upping their newsletter game. I don't know if you all have noticed, but I hope you have. And they have a book club newsletter. So they have it's called In the Club. Cute. Love it. And there you can get recommendations for like the best books to discuss with your book clubs. Now, if you've ever been part of a book club, you know it's really difficult to find a good book club book because you don't want everyone to agree on whether it's good or terrible. You want people who disagree for a nice discussion, right? So that's what they really look at. So there are book club also friendly recipes and bookish updates. And if you become a paid subscriber, you get even more recommendations plus community features. So you will have all of these assets there for you. So you can go check that out at bookriot.com/in the club. That's bookriot.com/in the club.
Oh, now 50 cents going through my head. All right. Well, before I go down that rabbit hole, let's go ahead and take a quick pause for our first sponsor.
Today's episode is brought to you by Entangled Publishing's Red Tower Books, publisher of the smash hit Fourth Wing. You'll only cross these blades once in a page-turning new tale of revenge, strategy, and so many lies. Best-selling Red Tower Books is releasing its next irresistible read that will capture your imagination and keep you guessing until the end. Mae Corlin's Five Broken Blades tells an intricate high-stakes tale of five total strangers united in a plot that will test their strength, wits, and courage. Each has their reasons, all have secrets. But while it's easy to betray a stranger, it's not so simple to stab a friend or a lover, okay, in the back. Now these five blades must choose between vengeance and one another. Pick up Five Broken Blades by Mae Corlin for a thrilling, adventurous tale filled with risk, romance, adventure, and oh, so many lies. The relationships in it are complex and nuanced and involve everything from friends to enemies, found and biological family and lovers and more. Thanks again to Entangled Publishing's Red Tower Books, publishers of the smash hit Fourth Wing, for sponsoring this episode.
All right. So if you are new to the show, welcome. If you're a longtime listener, welcome back. We're delighted to have everyone with us today. And like we mentioned at the beginning of the show, we talk about mysteries and suspense and thrillers and cats, pets, you know.
Yeah, of course.
We mostly focus on mystery, suspense, and thrillers, though. So there's a lot of stuff to talk about under that giant umbrella. We may talk about author read-alikes or subgenres we haven't covered in a while, or award news, true crime updates, movie adaptations. There are so many different avenues to explore underneath this giant suspenseful umbrella. And if you've listened to the show before, you know that this is always the point in the episode where we put out a call to our listeners to let us know if you have any ideas for future episodes, because they really do help us plan out a lot of the episodes that we've recorded over the past, I want to say, going on 7 years now. Holy shnikes. Anyway, we really do use a lot of the listener suggestions to help us decide what we want to talk about next. It's a great way for us to know what you, the listeners, would like to hear more of. It's a great way for us to expand our own reading horizons. It's definitely helped us out when we've been in a pinch and just been like, we don't have any good ideas. You guys have had fantastic ideas.
It's true.
And yep. And this has worked out really, really well. So we always put out a call at the beginning of the episode for people to let us know if you have any ideas for us. You can shoot us an email or reach out to us via social media. We're going to have all of our contact information at the end of the show and in the show notes, so don't worry about getting anything down right now. We just put out the call ahead of time early in the episode to get the creative juices flowing while you listen. And even if you don't have an idea and just want to say hi, that is also fabulous. We love hearing from our listeners. And if you enjoy the podcast and have not done so already, hop on over to Apple Podcasts and leave us a review so that other people can find us. So yeah, and earlier in this episode, we weren't joking. There isn't a whole lot of news happening in the world of mystery and suspense, so that's why we were talking about my cats. So let's go ahead and jump into this week's theme. We had debated doing Irish mysteries for this episode, since it comes out right around St. Patrick's Day. But we decided to expand it and go with European mysteries and thrillers, which, I mean, if you think about it, it feels like if a mystery or thriller is not set in America, it is probably set somewhere in Europe, but there are still lots of little pockets of the continent that maybe don't get a lot of attention, or there are lots of different perspectives to explore in this huge category of European mysteries. So how did you go about narrowing your picks down?
Well, I wanted books either in translation or from communities that aren't often in mysteries and thrillers. And so that's kind of how I went about it. So I picked one in translation and one by a Black writer from the UK. So I don't want to give any spoilers, but that's kind of how my process went, because I was sitting here thinking like, okay, how am I going to go about this? And I was like, everyone knows about all these people. What's something that I have not heard of before that I would like to recommend? And that's the summary, I guess.
Yeah, no, I think that's very similar to what I did. I wanted to focus on, either finding perspectives that are not as that you don't see as frequently in various books. That's what I ended up doing for one of my picks. And then the other one, while I wasn't specifically searching out a work in translation, I did pick a book that is from a very specific region of Europe that plays really, really heavily into the plot. And I just loved this book so much. But anyway, I'm starting to give a brief summary before I've even gotten into the book. So I'm going to have you go first because your first pick is one that I have already read and I really enjoyed it. So I want to hear you talk about it.
So I picked The Jigsaw Man by Nadine Matheson, who is a Black woman from the UK. And her protagonist is also a Black woman in the UK, and that is Angelica Henley. So this is a very, think of like Criminal Minds. That's what I kept thinking of. And so this is about a woman who has just come back on the force because she was able to put this guy away, Peter Olivier, and but she's really experiencing a lot of PTSD. She started a family, and what appears to be a copycat killer comes onto the scene. And so they start finding bodies cut up into pieces with parts missing. Yes, very descriptive, just FYI. Go ahead and heads up heading into it. But it did give very strong Criminal Minds vibes because of the extent of like serial killers and all sorts of stuff like that. But it was interesting to have this from her perspective. And one of the things I really liked is Angelica, because the character has such depth to it. This is a procedural situation where we have, you know, I think called detective inspectors. It is very interesting and so well done. It had a lot of depth to it and it was very different, but it also ended on a cliffhanger. So I really want to know what happens. The second book is already out, and the third book is coming out this summer, I think in August, I want to say, in the US. So that's pretty cool. And you said you already read this one.
Yeah, I read it for a previous episode of the podcast. I don't remember what the specific topic was. We may have been doing procedurals, but anyway, I listened to it on audio. I really liked it. And I will say, well, the mystery itself is dark, it's complex, which I really appreciated. But I was not expecting for the book to be so heavy in terms of how it talks about the main character's PTSD and anxiety and panic attacks that she has while trying to like push through it, and the toll that it takes on her, which for someone, while I don't have PTSD, I do have lifelong anxiety disorders, and having been through very stressful situations that I have like really had to push through my anxiety and seen the toll that it takes on me and the other people in my life, like that resonated with me so much. And so that was an element I was not expecting, but it was done very authentically, and it just gave the story a lot more weight. Like, it's not just the mystery that she's trying to solve. It's also all of this stuff going on in her life that affects the decisions that she makes and stuff. So yeah, it's a really, really good book. And while I haven't read the second book in the series yet, I have been meaning to get to it because I liked the first one so much.
Yeah. And it was just really interesting to also see the fact that since she is a Black woman in this position of power, that people don't, like, they'll talk to her, whoever's with her first. And you see all these racial dynamics, but in a UK setting, which is something that we definitely need to see more of. And so it was just really fascinating to get to see that. And I hadn't read, you know, a mystery thriller in the UK actually in a while. So it was nice to like come back and to check this out. And I don't think I'd ever read something this descriptive ever. So, you know, just as, again, as a heads up, but that is the Jigsaw Man by Nadine Matheson.
All right. Well, actually, in a perfect segue, my first pick is also from a British author who is a person of color, and it also looks at different racial elements in the UK, which I did not plan for my first pick to be that way. That's just how it happened. But I picked Perfectly Nice Neighbors by Kia Abdullah. And it's possible this book may have been published. I don't know if it's published over in the UK or elsewhere. When I've looked it up, like, for example, on the author's Wikipedia page, the book is listed as Those People Next Door, which may be the title in the UK. I'm not sure. But the copy that I got from Barnes & Noble says Perfectly Nice Neighbors by, again, by Kia Abdullah. And I have read one of her previous books. It's a legal thriller called Take It Back, which comes with like every trigger warning you can possibly imagine. This one is it's a domestic, I call this a social domestic thriller. The main characters, Salma and her husband, Bill, they are Bangladeshi and they have just moved into this new suburban development near London called Blenheim. And they feel like, okay, you know, it's very quiet, it's very safe, it's quite whitewashed. And then soon after they move in, Salma sees her next door neighbor, Tom, pulling out a banner that her son put up in the yard. It's a Black Lives Matter banner. And she decides, okay, I'm not going to confront him about this, but you know, I don't want him to think that, you know, we're just going to take it down and be, you know, be okay with it. So she puts it up in her window where it's more noticeable. And then the next morning she wakes up to find that her window has been covered with paint. And so she confronts him like, what the heck? And this is like a pebble dropping into a pond with ripple effects that start out small and expand. And that is as far as I will go in terms of plot. When I read this book, which I read over the course of two sittings, it's very, very fast. And our new kitty kept me company through the last two thirds of the book. He's a very wonderful reading buddy. Anyway, this book, it reminds me of Angie Kim. It reminds me a little of the book Reconstructing Amelia by Kimberly McCrate. And it also reminded me of the book Confessions by Kinae Minato, which I have also talked about on this show before. It, in terms of like how one decision can have just a huge effect and affect other people's decisions and just can have a profound impact on other people. It was really well done, and it talks a lot about modern day relations with other people, how racism can factor into our, you know, not only factor into interactions that people of color have throughout their, you know, their everyday lives, but how white people respond to claims of racism or accusations of racism. The question is, which is worse to, you know, to say or do something racist or to be accused of doing something? Like, which is worse, the action or the accusation? And yeah, it's a very nuanced type of book that says a lot without, you know, it's the story itself is kept quite tight, but it says a lot about how we, you know, how we interact with each other nowadays. And yeah, I really, really liked it. And it, it hits really well. And like I said, it's considering how much happens in that book, it's quite short. I think it's under 300 pages. Or if it's over, it's just over. But yeah, it was really, really interesting. And like I said, a super fast read. Then that is Perfectly Nice Neighbors by Kia Abdullah. So before I toss it back over to you, Kendra, let's go ahead and take a quick pause for our second sponsor. Okay, Kendra, take it away.
All right. So my second pick is from Sweden, and that is Quicksand by Malin Persson Gillido. And this is translated from Swedish by Rachel Wilson Broyles. And this is a fascinating novel. So we are in Sweden, right? There's this woman, a young woman named Maya. that she is on trial for her involvement in a school shooting where her boyfriend Sebastian basically killed the whole classroom and then also turned the gun on himself. And so now she is, how involved is she? So we're going back and forth between her time in prison before the trial and then during the trial. And every other chapter is like what actually happened. We see her meeting Sebastian, who's the son of a billionaire. So she's kind of overwhelmed by all this attention. And her parents just let her go on the yacht with him and just immediately just, you know, they just share a room and all this stuff. And I'm like, I was barely allowed to talk to boys, but okay. As like a 17-year-old, like, but you can see how even her parents are charmed by Sebastian. They love him almost immediately. And of course, all the attention from this very rich man, I'm sure, does not hurt. But we also start to see how she starts, she finds herself in this very abusive relationship. And so we are learning as the jury, I'm not sure, I don't think they call it a jury in Sweden, but as the people who are deciding her fate are listening to her story, you are seeing it for yourself as a reader. And I was completely fascinated by this book. It is not short. I want to say, I know it was several hours, but it is quite the story, but it is amazing. It was eventually made into a Netflix show, and Netflix show is such a great adaptation. I did not understand in the book why everyone loves Sebastian. I was like, this guy is bad news bears. Like, what are we doing? I'm also a granny, apparently. I was like, why? Why do we love him? And then in the show, you get why he's so charming. He's handsome. He's charming. You know, he's very sexy. You understand why this young woman is enthralled by him and why she finds herself isolated and in this moment where this horrible thing happens. And she's also trying to confront her own internal guilt, like, was she involved? And we don't really know the full story until the end of the novel. So well done. Would definitely pick up another book by this author. It's just, it's so good. It's 515 pages. There we go. That's,
oh my gosh.
Like, it is hefty, but worth it. Have you read this one?
I haven't, but I am slightly familiar with the author. The book that I have by her is called Beyond All Reasonable Doubt. Have I read it yet? No, of course not. But no, this one sounds really interesting, and I love the framework of that type of story where you're kind of like, you know, you have this premise of like a trial or some kind of confession or something, and you're putting the pieces together of what happened. I love that type of story. But I am glad that you mentioned that it's over 500 pages, because that's a commitment. And one that, you know, sometimes when you, like, if you decide like, oh, I'm going to check out this book from the library, this is what I'm going to read next, and then you see it and you're like, oh boy. So thank you for that heads up, but it sounds fascinating.
It is. And it's published by the Other Press in the United States, and they just do a great job with books like this. And anyway, definitely one to put all on your radars. It's so good. And that is Quicksand by Malin Persson Gyllido. That's translated from Swedish by Rachel Wilson Broyles.
All right. So my second pick is a book that I have talked about on the show before. Have not read it in probably about 5 years, but I remember it really stuck with me. And it fits this topic perfectly. It's Beneath the Mountain by Luca D'Andrea. And it was translated from Italian by Howard Curtis. And this book takes place in a very, very specific region in the Dolomites. It's kind of on the border, I think, between Italy and Germany. This specific village is, it's just, it's a, its own unique kind. its own unique area. The dialect is different from other nearby areas. There are certain ways that they are more German than Italian, and it's just the way the author uses the place and the Dolomite Range and all of the features of this area that actually come into play in terms of the plot. It's just so well done. So the story itself, we have Jeremiah Salinger, who is from New York City. He is part of a documentary team, and he has left all of that behind. He and his wife and their daughter have moved to this town in Italy where his wife grew up. The town, which is called Siebenhaak, is very close-knit. They regard him with a bit of suspicion. And while he's there, Salinger decides that he's going to make a documentary about this mountain rescue group from the town. They rescue people who have gotten lost hiking in the Dolomites. And while he's making the documentary, it just goes horribly, horribly wrong. People die. He is essentially the only survivor of this. And he blames himself. It seems like the entire town believes him. And so he's just in a really bad place. This happens in the first, you know, in the first quarter of the book. And then one day he takes his daughter to the Blätterbach Gorge, which is this this very fossil-rich area. And he learns about these prehistoric animals that lived in the area. There's talk that, you know, is there something, you know, left over from that era that's still there. But he also overhears this story about three students in 1985 who were murdered in that gorge, and the killer was never found. And Salinger becomes obsessed with solving the mystery. Like, he believes that this is the only thing that is going to keep him sane. And so he starts digging into the secrets of this town where everyone is extremely close-lipped. And you just know the entire time, you're like, this is a horribly bad idea. But he keeps going. And this book, it had different elements to it that I was not expecting. And it is definitely a slow burn of a novel, but it's so atmospheric. And there's just something about it that just hit that perfect just vibe that I was looking for at the time. I also did listen to it on audio. The narrator was fantastic. And yeah, it just is it's a very much a book that is, it is very unique to that place. And it just, it's so, so good. So when we were talking about doing European thrillers and mysteries, this one came to my mind because the way the setting works in the book. And I think I first heard about this book from Liberty talking about it. Have you read this one? I know you've picked up a lot of books that Liberty has mentioned over the years.
I haven't, but I need to add this one because she always has the, you know, always a good place for recommendations.
Yeah, it was. I picked it just out of. I was just like, oh yeah, you know, let's give it a try. It was available on Hoopla. So I borrowed it, and I was really surprised by how much I enjoyed it. Again, that is Beneath the Mountain by Luca D'Andrea, and it's translated from Italian by Howard Curtis.
And those are our four picks for this theme. I love these. And if you have any more that you all would like to share with us, you can definitely hit us up in email, and of course that'll be in the show notes. But now it's time to talk about new books.
All right. Well, I'll pass it over again to you since I always close out these sections. So,
well, I wanted to take this moment to mention the Trans Rights Readathon, which is happening, I believe, starting on the 22nd through the 29th, I believe. And so this is to celebrate the Trans Day of Visibility on March 31st. And so that connects with my new book, which is by Lee Mandello. And I'm so excited. I love the way that there are so many Appalachian books coming from this writer. So my new release pick is The Woods All Black, and this is set in 1920s Appalachia. I can't remember if I've talked about this already on the show as one of my new book most excited about, but this is about Leslie Bruin, who's been assigned by the Frontier Nursing Service. Now, everyone sees him as like an air quotes failed woman, but really being on in this community, they're just kind of having to make it work. And so on one hand, there are people who just accept people for who they are. But on the other hand, there are people who have certain ideas about him and who he should be. And there's violence connected to that. So what is that going to look like? And all of this is in the backdrop, again, of 1920s Appalachia. And so one of the things about this author is that there is so much, there are more horror elements, but like creepy Appalachian horror, which is a vibe. And we love it. Oh, so, yeah. have we both read this author before?
I have not, but okay. I do remember you talking about this author before. And then, so when I saw this name for new releases, I was like, oh yeah, I remember you mentioning them before. And again, that was a reminder for me. I'm like, oh, I got to put something of theirs on my TBR.
So if anyone out there wants like a horror-esque historical fiction sort of story for the Trans Rights Readathon, this is definitely be great for your list.
All right. So my second pick is, or my new releases pick, is The Mystery Writer by Sulari Gentle, which is out on March 19th. And this book, I talked about Sulari Gentle's book, I think, The Woman in the Library, which was really, really good. Very meta type of literary mystery. And this book sounds like it is very much in the same vein. So we have Theodosia Benton, which that's a name if I ever heard one. She decides to abandon her career path as an attorney, and she shows up on her brother's doorstep with a couple of suitcases and an unfinished novel. And so she expects there to be a few challenges. You know, is her brother going to support her ambition? Is he going to send her back to finish her law degree? Does she have what it takes to be a successful writer? What she doesn't expect is to be drawn into a hidden literary world where identity is something that can be lost and remade for the sake of an audience. And her mentor, who is a highly successful author, is brutally murdered. Theo wants the killer to be found and justice to be served. And then they start looking at her brother as the prime suspect. And so she does something unthinkable to protect him. But the writer has left a trail in the form of a story. And Theo's brother finds this trail and follows it. And so that threatens the foundations of this hidden literary world. And this is, it just feels like from the description, it's just layers upon layers upon layers of mystery and deceit and conspiracy. And it just sounds really, really interesting. So yes, if you enjoyed The Woman in the Library and been waiting for the next book from this author, you are in luck. You do not have to wait any longer. In fact, this book will be out by the time you listen to this episode. And again, this is called The Mystery Writer by Sulari Gentle.
Well, that's it. That's our show. So thanks, everyone, starting from the top. And that's our show. Thanks so much to everyone for listening. And thanks so much to our wonderful guest sound editor, Jeff O'Neill. Greatly appreciate you, my stars. And thank you for making us sound great on this episode. Sending you all the good vibes because
you're going to need them.
For these show notes, you can head over to bookriot.com/listen. And for more book recommendations and bookish goodness, head over to bookriot.com. And don't forget to check out all of Book Riot's podcasts at bookriot.com/listen. Or you can just search Book Riot in your podcast player of choice. If you would like to send us an email with feedback or show suggestions, you can reach us at redordead@bookriot.com. Otherwise, you can find me, Kendra, on Twitter and Instagram at Katie Winchester, and now on TikTok at Kendra Winchester. You can find Katie on Twitter at KT_library lady, and we will talk to y'all next time.
Bye.